Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the B-Team Podcast. As always, they are live on the Jackrabbit Illustrated Facebook and Twitter. We are also live on the FCS Fans Nation YouTube, for the fans, by the fans. Beyond that, you can catch the show, if you don't catch it live, anywhere you get your favorite podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere in between. As always, the B-Team is brought to you by our title sponsor, Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. If you need a tractor, utility vehicle, construction equipment, zero-turn mowers, parts, service, and more, there's always a Kubota dealer near you with 8 locations across the great state of South Dakota. Stop in today and get yourself into some orange equipment. We would also like to take a moment to thank our segment sponsors, Culver's, Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill. And now, B-Team Mafia, the time's arrived. Here, Ben, Chad, and Brendan.
All right, B-Team Mafia, welcome back.
Check out that intro. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't know who the professional was that did that, but right? That guy needs to get paid.
I put way too much time into that for that to happen. Rev says, what in the name of cable access TV is this? That's funny. No, I like the music. Gets me a little bouncy, a little energized. Yeah. Chad doesn't love music. He's more a rock guy.
It's jazzy. It's jazzy. I can appreciate
jazzy.
It.
We're jazzy, man. So, anyways, that's exciting. It was a good weekend. We've got
someone's a little biased.
Yeah, Ariel might be a little biased. You heard me grumbling while I was fighting making it today. I'm gonna have to have some practice on that. Big news carrying over from the A team. Is there cardboard in the hat? No. Just the nastiest sweat stain you've ever seen. Oh my god.
That's not the nastiest. I've got way worse, bud.
That's not good. That's not ideal.
Sure. I missed the sweat stain. Let me see it.
It's just dirt, man. It's dirty.
Oh boy.
It's kind of turning green a little bit. Maybe that's just the way it's coming through.
Oh no, come on. It's turning black. Don't call it that other color.
That one's got some mold on there.
It's a little schmoldy. Not as crispy.
That's good otherwise, but yes, it's not as crispy.
Not quite as crispy.
I've got quality hats. That's good and white, yeah. You know?
Yeah. All mine end up dirty and nasty, no matter how hard I try, particularly if I get a white one. So it is what it is.
I disagree. The UAC intro is one of the greatest things I've ever heard. It's epic. We were discussing that beforehand.
Our intro is better than the UAC one.
Yuck.
Yuck. God, that'd be a funny intro if you had that clip of that cat going, yeah.
You know what's funny, Brendan? This was something I was going to bring up too, but anyway.
I was surprised you didn't put him in the
right
order.
There's one Katrik, the order of the names. And
I don't know. I don't know. If I'm doing anything, I always put my name last because I feel like I should put everybody else first.
I'm that same way, Brendan.
It's very humble of you.
And I'm not, I am not going and redoing it. So,
no, it's fine.
It's in the name. Don't worry. It's in the logo.
It is.
You revealed it. It's in the logo.
Did anybody catch it?
Nobody said anything. And you know what? Until they know, they don't know. So for all they know, we're just saying that our faces are in there.
Nice.
It's in the right order, right? On the logo?
Oh, yeah. Should we make the...
It's backwards on the logo.
Well, our faces.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It's in the logo. It's right on the logo.
It's right on there.
Leave it at that. It's right there. Yeah,
it's free real estate.
It's correct.
Anyway, should we make our programming announcement?
Yes. Yes, we should.
So, kind of exciting. We've heard the people, and we are a pod of the people. And people miss us picking our games against the Lions that come out on Wednesday. And we can't do those on Monday nights. And so we're going to, the majority of our pod will remain on Monday nights. But we are going to have a special segment on Wednesday nights. This week, what did we decide? What time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock on Wednesday. We're going to Brendan and I and the new JAI member Alex are going to hop on and do the pick segment where we'll break down all the Missouri Valley games, the spreads, the totals, and we'll look at Alex's model and see how stupid it makes Brendan and I look. or we'll see if we can beat the computer, maybe.
Beat the computer. It's like the human player playing the computer in chess, right? So you're not supposed to win, but you can.
Yeah. So exciting. For those of you that miss us picking against the spread and stuff, we'll do that on Wednesday. It'll be a much shorter version. It'll be
get to an hour on this show. Don't worry.
We'll probably get to an hour on this show.
This show's staying as it has been this whole year.
Yeah, I feel like we'll break down the Missouri Valley games less, just because we'll talk about them more on Wednesday. But Wednesday night will be like 15 to 20 minutes. So yeah, there's Alex right there.
Yeah, Alex here. He's gonna have his live TV debut. He's excited. We're excited. I heard his wife's excited, so that's cool. We'll just probably have more of an expanded preview of the upcoming game on this show, and then the spinoff, I don't know, call it money line or whatever we want to call it.
Yeah.
That'll be focused just on quick little jabber that we used to do when we knew the lines.
Which I think is a good thing. I feel like we've ran out of time at times to preview the upcoming game, and we'd like to leave a little more time for that. So we will have more time for that on Monday nights.
You know what? Mayhem, I'm not going to call. I know who you are.
I know who you are.
I know who that is
too.
I know. We know who you is. We know who you are. I'm reading Rev's count. Sorry. My picks, I think, ended up 3-3. So there.
Yeah. They weren't looking good, but the couple of games turned around for you that we'll talk about that later.
Yep.
First,
or even on the spinoff show.
We'll review our picks on this show. Okay. Like, we want to get done with the past week's picks on this show.
Yeah.
And then the show is only 15 to 20 minutes on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have life, but
yep.
Lives to live outside of this. So, but we will, even more Jackrabbit Illustrated content coming straight at you.
I do like, so Garrett's got a good idea here. B notes, like kind of like C notes. Yeah. But we're open to suggestions for what to call that Wednesday segment, our pick segment. Yep. So if you've got
Stone Cold locks of the week.
Yeah. I mean, there's all those cheesy like pick segment names.
If we could steal did you ever listen to the SVP and Rosillo show?
Yeah.
They had the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Century.
Oh,
I would kill to have that soundbite. There's no way we'd be able to use that.
Right.
I mean, it's built into the FCS Nation radio. You know, they got that one built in because the Stone Cold Quarterback, like,
right.
It's so there.
It's very true.
Ron has a question. That'll be a later question, probably, because it was a wild weekend out in the wilds of the FCS. That was insane.
It was a crazy weekend. We're going to recap the UND game first before we get ahead of ourselves. Yeah. Justin said, call it, hopefully I get parlayed this weekend.
that's pretty witty. I like do that. Like that.
I don't know if I've ever heard that before.
Go from the
BBC
content to the hope I get parlayed. That's pretty natural, right?
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it.
Hope I get
all right. Parlayed. Keep those suggestions coming. but UND game, tailgating was awesome. The weather was great. We had a little rain shower, but didn't stop us. It was a great time had by all. We had good food, good company. It was interesting though, for a sellout, it felt like there were less tailgaters. I don't know if people just had busy Saturday mornings and couldn't tailgate or what, but compared to the Montana State game anyway.
It didn't seem like as many people in the stands either, oddly. But you know, the numbers, it just didn't feel as full. If you looked at that corner between the east side and the students, it was less full.
So I think that corner, I think they're trying to reserve enough seats for students to make sure that they can get any student that wants to come in the game. That's what I think happened.
Yeah.
Because otherwise those tickets would have been sold, because you're not going to sell it out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and not have, and have a big bunch of seats missing. Like, they would have sold them if they could, but I think they were holding them for students is my take on that.
My understanding is they've always sold that as packages to like businesses and such.
They have in the past. I think
you might be right.
Yeah. Yeah. In the past they used to.
Yeah.
Yep. But now I think I had heard scuttlebutt that after the turnout for the Montana State game with the students, and then, you know, we talked about like, oh boy, that's going to be problematic after the Western Oregon game. So I think there was talk of setting that aside for student overflow. So,
which is cool. Like, I mean, if the students want to come to the game, like, we got to have, you'd like to have space for them. I mean, at some point, you know, the games might get so big and sold out so often that it's like, well, only so many students can come, either first come, first serve, or else you're gonna have to come up with a system like some universities have. But until then, I think it's a good system for now. But anyway, the game itself was awesome, obviously. You know, from the get-go, just that first drive was it had to steal UND's soul in terms of, you know, they come in, they're thinking, man, maybe we can shock these guys. And then we just run it down their throats. Like, it was a statement drive. And like, there was no resistance. It was just awesome to watch.
Yeah. It, you know, I think the one that really took their soul was probably the second drive, because it was just as easy. The first one came out and made a statement like, welcome to the show. And then the second drive, they get stopped and you go down just as easily. They're off it. I mean, if you're UND's offense, you'd be thinking, oh my God, we're going to have to score like every drive to try to keep up. And the pressure gets put on them right away. And yeah, that was, and then they score, but it's like a fight the whole way down. And I think throughout the stadium, there was never a doubt that SDSU was winning that game.
No, 100%. You guys go ahead. I gotta grab something. I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, anyways, Ben is just gone. It's sad. He didn't
like Garrett Meyer says. Everybody, he said he was surrounded by UND fans and they knew the outcome three plays in. It kind of felt that way from the get. Before the game, I was a little anxious going in, just not knowing, because we've had a little bit of uncertainty as far as where this team really should be and where we think they've been, you know, as far as like, we didn't have any sacks, you know, and we thought maybe we should have a couple already, but you know, they put most of those questions to bed this last game. And I think Ben's about ready to join us again, but he's
back. I don't know what he's doing here, but you know, you're right. And this was the first game that they felt like you felt like this was the NDSU from the playoff, or NDSU. Good Lord.
See, good. This guy's coming back.
And then I'm,
oh man.
Oh, kerfuffle. Oof. I just really enjoyed them losing. It felt like the first game this season that, you know, I think maybe the expectation for everything to click was a little high out the gates, but this was the first game where it felt like, oh yeah, this is what we were watching last year. They're back. They got to put together after this bye. And everything they're a machine. They're just an absolute machine.
Yeah. For those of those not watching, I changed my lighting situation. I got a text. So you guys mentioned something about my.
You know, you didn't have to say anything, Ben. You could have just left it be.
No, don't leave it be. Never leave it be.
I want
people to know what was going on.
You just need a longer mustache, sir. I know. You need to fill in the corner.
Oh, you got a text about the.
I did. Yes.
Look. Yeah. It's still pretty bad, honestly.
And I had to. It's not. Screw you guys, man. It doesn't look that way in person.
You grow up, you can grow.
What was the game like against UND?
Tell me. I was just in Germany.
Wow. What did the offensive line do to hide Isaiah?
We can't do that.
Apparently they loaded the boxes and they still couldn't stop Zay.
We have to do the whole podcast.
Demoralizing for them.
There is no way that we can do it any other way.
Wow, we're more off the rails than the A team. I thought I really had something with that whole deal last night.
I'm glad I could help facilitate that a little bit.
Oh, dude. The pod father couldn't keep his cool with your comments, Brendan. He ended up having to turn them off.
I know.
And then when I put them on, he was just losing it.
Anyway, I don't know what
Rev's comments.
I don't know if we can even leave you on screen at this point because I'm not sure we can look at you and take this whole thing serious.
You look, you know, we'll just go. Hey, Charlie Chaplin, how are you doing today?
Yeah, Charlie Chaplin.
Are you going to silent film this?
Yeah. Can you type your responses?
Oh, God, I'm going to get a ring light or something.
It's probably a good idea, Sean.
Anyway,
you'll just go, Charlie.
Just do the pod like this.
You're going to talk with
like Wilson.
Get yourself one of those fake mustaches.
What are we doing? A visit at the pitching mound in a Major League Baseball game here?
No, it's like Wilson on Home Improvement.
Jordan Frank's right. It's pretty early for garage time, but yeah,
it is.
Here we are.
Let's move on. I don't know what you guys talked about when I was not here, but what I wanted to say was the offensive line dominated. They were moving dudes. The UND O-line was undersized, it seemed like, and they just had no chance. It was they were 5 yards down the away from the line scrimmage. Thanks, Dustin. Dustin said, Ben, I must ask you where you got the light. I got it from right over there. But anyway, yes. Offensive line was dominant, 7.2 yards per carry. Quentin Christensen moving to the tight end position was fun to watch, squeezing in that,
was a big
tight
deal,
end jersey. Oh, it was huge. Yeah, I mean, bringing an extra lineman in, and then, you know, he mentioned, or Jimmy mentioned tonight about how, or I can remember.
Yeah, no, he mentioned it on his coach's show. He said it.
Where he said something about how, with a tight end number, maybe he can catch a pass at some point. He's an
athlete.
Just
wait. I think he said something, just wait till he catches a pass.
Right, yeah, it's only a matter of time, probably.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it reminds me of how the offense started clicking when Tucker got back. And we talked about all some of that's just how good of a blocker he was to have when we had the two tight end sets and stuff. Well, now you can have Quinton and Hines in there, and it's really like having two extra offensive tackles.
Yeah.
But you also have the passing threat still, and that is it's almost unfair with that sort of setup. That was awesome.
100%. Well, and then the other, along those lines, Brenner being in there, he was in there quite a bit, and you could tell they were just heavy package and just running it down their throat, and it's good luck stopping it. Corey Carraway said, Jimmy said that wait for the jump pass, which will happen eventually to Quentin Christensen. But yeah, Brenner, I think he should be an honorary 605 Hogs member because he was out there moving dudes too. It's just, the run game is nasty when it gets going like that, which you love to see because if you can run the ball like that, teams are just so screwed. Because then they have to commit so many guys just to stop the run, and then the pass game's open. So we're not going to be able to do that against every team. Illinois State may pose a threat to that this weekend. We'll talk about that in a little while. But, that was just so fun to see. And then just the running backs having a day. I mean, Zay was just going off. I just love when he gets rolling and, he gets up, he kind of flips the ball, and he's nodding his head. It's boy,
he's ready.
The defense is screwed now.
Well, yeah, and the run game was awesome. But you know what makes it so devastating is that Mark didn't have necessarily his best game he's ever had, but he still, every time it mattered, was nails passing balls.
Well. Oh, yeah.
I mean, when it's like, oh, no, it's 3rd and 18. Bloop,
right.
Not anymore. Still got the ball. Suck it. So
what do you do? Extremely efficient on 3rd down this year.
That 3rd and 18 play, him and Jackson Yankee have a connection. Like, I don't know. If, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people remember when Rodgers and not Devontae Adams. Who was it? Well, him and Devontae Adams had it some up, but they did these routes where, like, it was a timing route. And if you know exactly when he's going to turn around, the defense is going to be not going to be able to react in time. And it was exactly that. Like, it was a timing deal. Gronowski threw it before Yankee turned around, and he was just wide open for a 20-yard gain. Like, it looked so easy. But that's the type of separation you can get when you have a connection like that. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, the offense as a whole was just, it was art in motion. Really?
Oh, sure. I mean, I loved like seeing Amar get out on the edge. They threw him a couple balls on the perimeter, and just getting him in space is awesome. And just his patience is so good. And then even Angel coming in and having a nice patient cut and run for a long touchdown. He's just developing so much too. So the running back core is just, it's looking really, really good right now.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything we can even really add. What more superlatives do you say about that offense?
The offense, yeah. I mean, outside of that, one thing I liked seeing Hines get 3 catches. It was his highest catch game yet, but I'd like to see him get 4 or 5 catches a game. I mean, I know there's only so many passes to go around, but I feel like he's such a huge threat and can open up the middle of the field for us. So hopefully we see him utilize more. Outside of that, Wildy didn't get a touchdown finally, but he did have a sweet return that got pulled back. So, I mean, you could tell he's going to be a weapon in the return game because he's just freakishly fast. And so it'll be fun to see how much he gets implemented into there. Garrett Myers says,
reminds me of,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Nope.
I'll say Garrett Myers says UND's offensive game plan was predicated on perfection. Getting 4 to 6 yards per play, drives where they had penalty resulted in what seemed like 3 and out, but not when they had monster touchdown drives. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, Wildy, the weapon, you know, wide receiver weapon returning like him, reminds me a little bit of Kay Johnson returning touchdowns, returning kickoffs, in like next year, we're going to be pissed off that they're using it as a return man.
Yeah.
Don't get him hurt.
Likely.
But right now we're going to enjoy it. Was that the most obvious and confident you've ever felt about a 4th and 1 call in your life?
Yes. 100%.
You listen to Tyler Merriam in the post game. He's like, that was a big deal. And I was thinking, God, maybe it was, maybe I was just too along for the ride in the stadium, but that felt obvious. And then Jimmy delivers. That guy I think is going to be a quote machine. You get statements of standard, and then they have a coach saying, scared money don't make money, for his reasoning going at 4th and 1. What? Okay. But that was phenomenal.
It completely threw Tyler off, too. He did not expect that, and he didn't really even know how to respond when he heard him say that. It was kind of funny.
One more note on the offense. Gronowski, I mean, he's just so good that we usually don't praise him a whole lot. Like, he's just so consistent and good, but he just looked so comfortable and patient out there and like working through all his reads. Sometimes he got to his like third, fourth read. And again, that's credit to the offensive line, giving him enough time. But when he's in the zone, it's just tough to stop. But
hard to believe 13 and 21 for 167, and he passed Dan Feldheim, ending with 5,230 yards.
That's crazy. You don't even think about it. Like, he's on the record books already.
Yeah, so he's like 6th all time now, 6th or 7th. I didn't write down that.
That was easy.
And he could play 2 more years after this.
Right, if he wants to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think part of the reason it gets taken for granted is he is just so confident and goes through his reads so fast that you don't get that in college quarterbacks. I mean, I watch a lot of college games where you're like, that dude's like a one read guy, like, and it's most college quarterbacks. And watching him is just like a whole different level.
Was also the 18th game where he passed and run for a TD. So, you know, that's
right.
And I saw it was like the ninth straight or something like that.
Yeah, ninth straight, but 18 total. And that's something for a quarterback. Dude's underrated. He doesn't get the respect I think he deserves nationally. But
well, yeah, because he doesn't put up the 300, 400 yard games with 5 or 6 touchdowns.
Have to.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but it reminds me of like when Wentz and Stick were playing up north and never got any credit. True. And all of a sudden it's like, what? You mean they're an NFL quarterback? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
No, they were. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's very similar that way. Said enough about the offense, now to the defense. A dominant first half and third quarter again. Still 0 points scored in the third quarter throughout the whole year, which is awesome. So big. But in the first half, they give up 11 rushes for 18 yards, which is tough.
That's like, pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. And I tweeted it out, but one of us called the team having 2 sacks, and we got
exactly not to mention any names, whoever that may have been.
Hey, and other nudes,
make sure there's ice in that drink so you can ice your hand from patting your back.
outside of that, Chain Gang deserves a huge shout out. Schuster being, I mean, he got loose a couple times, but it wasn't for much. They had linebackers spying him, and the D-line contained him for the most part. Just didn't let him get loose like we've seen him in the past. And so huge shout out to them. And then Bach being back is just awesome. Like, he had 10 total tackles and a sack, and you could just tell that he gave the defense a spark, and he covers so much space while he's out there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like he's a player and a half almost, just with how much space he covers. And so we have a deep linebacking core, but he's just another level. Like,
he just accelerates and covers. Like you said, he just covers so much ground so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And his decisions are so quick.
Yep.
And they're almost always 100% the correct decision, right? Like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, his instincts are so good. Last thing, we mentioned the sellout crowd, but I did want to mention just how much of a difference it makes. And if you don't listen to the coach's show, it's really good, number one. And number two, Jimmy mentioned tonight how much of a difference the crowd makes. And not only in affecting the game, but in recruiting too. If you saw today, we had a 3-star guy commit
cornerback,
and he was here for a visit on Saturday. And he said that he's been recruited by Iowa State, Kansas State, other FBS schools. And he said this was the best atmosphere he had, the best time he had. And it's because of the full stadium. I mean, we make that experience for those players that come and consider SDSU. And so you're making a difference just by showing up and by making noise. And so just wanted to shout out everybody that came to the game, and just keep that in mind when you're, you know, considering going to the games in future. You know, like, say the Missouri State game, it, you know, isn't even close to being sold out, but, you know, we could get it closer, and the playoff games too. I mean, recruits come to those games too. And if it's an empty stadium, that's what they see, and it makes an effect on them. So it's huge.
Yeah. If you're ever sitting at home going, well, the weather or whatever.
Yeah. Or all it's, back or all it's better on TV. Like,
yeah. Oh, I mean, it's Missouri State. Oh, what a, no, right. Just show up. Just show up. You can't, like, we've tried to say this for a while, right? I mean, we've been saying this for a while, like, you showing up, you matter. You make a difference. You really do. As a fan, you make a difference. Just show up, go do it. If you want to win, show up. If you want a national title, and you want it that bad, then you should at least have the gumption to show up, which people have been doing. I'm not saying people haven't been doing that this year.
Right.
It's been phenomenal. It's been awesome. Yeah. I'm just saying, in the future, if it's a late season game, playoffs, keep that in mind. Like, that stuff's important.
Yeah. no doubt. I mean, it, you know, I'm sure some people think, well, I can't make a difference. I can't donate thousands of dollars. And it's like, you don't have to. Just buy a ticket, bring some friends, and show up to the game. And that makes a difference right there. So,
yep.
And yep. Soapbox rant. All right. Anything else on the UND game?
The concession stand, like they talked about it on the team. And this, it's not the university. It's whoever the heck took over, for Aramark, right, on that stuff. But I just want to say the fines should be gigantic, mm-hmm, for not having one of those stands open. Honestly, if it's like Chad said, down to 15,000, those need to be open just because. And because you need to make up for potential future loss revenue from people unhappy because they had to wait for that long. So that's my little rant.
Yeah,
I'm done with that.
Careful, you'll get called a Karen.
Show that last.
We need to get like, I was thinking about that. We need to get a picture of me. Ben, like
Ben's
like
on the pamper side. You know? Oh my god,
dude. That's a pretty good description. You can be a little bit of a Karen sometimes.
Okay.
All right. Show Jesse's comment again.
Well, I just had it up.
Well, it was really quick. Jesse said, I brought a friend to his first game and he's strongly considering getting season tickets now, like one game. And a lot of, I've heard that from my sister said it. She lives in Brookings and she normally doesn't go to games, but she took her kid. They had a great time. And, you know, she had to buy $45 a piece tickets. And she's like, how much are season tickets? I'm like, well, you can get them for $99 a piece. She's like, well, why don't we just do that? Good idea.
We've only been preaching that for 3-4 years now, but.
Well, she doesn't necessarily listen to the pod, so.
I get it. My sister doesn't listen to you, but it's fine.
But anyway, to Jesse's point, bring a friend. They might love it, and they might be buying season tickets next year. So, yeah. With that, let's move on to the picks from last week. I had another good week. Brendan held on. He did okay.
What were you this week?
I was 4-2, and you were 3-3.
That was fine.
Oh, yeah. It's not bad. So you and I held on against Youngstown State. Youngstown State did score a touchdown with 32 seconds left to help you out in that one because I missed that one. You got that one. That would have been big. You and I, you know, they got right at home, but they still – their defense looks like it's not doing well. You and I won 44-41. That's a very high-scoring game. So it'd be interesting to see how they do going forward. The big one, USD, was a 21.5-point underdog, pulled off the upset. They won 24-19 over NDSU.
We got to talk about that one, right?
We 100% have to talk about that one.
But first, we have to talk about how our picks are presented by Jackrabbit Central. Touchdown Tuesday is coming up tomorrow. We get 25% off at the bookstore. So
let's
get
go out
to Brookings and get you your savings. And it's actually happening because it was a home game.
It really is happening.
No, we swear to God, it's happening.
We led you astray last time on the away game, but it's a home game. They tweeted it out. It's 25% off tomorrow online and in store. Go get yourself a hat and remove the cardboard from it.
Listen to
Harley I Chaplin. Will. No, you don't have to remove the cardboard and move your stick to the underside. I will be going up there tomorrow and getting more gear because why not? I'd be driving by for work and yeah, it's going to be awesome.
You might as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Got to get myself some sick national championship gear like you have behind you there, Ben.
That's right.
Yes. Those are sweet. I'm actually getting the other one that has the whole schedule listed with the results because that thing's dope. To me,
pretty sure they've got this blanket there too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They got the sweatpants shorts. They're awesome.
They got a bunch of all the stuff there. So it's definitely the number one spot for Jackrabbit gear.
Yes,
Rev, tell them we sent you when you show up.
Yes, tell them we sent you. Yes, that's the thing.
We appreciate our partnership with them. Yes, they are a great partner.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
But yes, the USD NDSU game. The one thing that I noticed And Matt touched on it in their pod, was Kubits being out, their linebacker, is huge. Like, he was one of their best defensive players, and he must have been their best tackler, because their tackling is just atrocious. They miss so many tackles. And the guy that replaced Kubits, I don't know his name, but he is not very good. He looked
Matt, you're talking about Frazee, right?
Yes, Matt Frazee on the FCS Fans Nation pod. But they touched on it in their pod too, that, you know, NDSU has had some transfers, and now so the main guys are gone, so the backups are coming in. And when the backups go out, now you got your backups in, and it's just how deep can you be? And it's affecting them. And they're not the NDSU of old, that's for sure.
No, I do have to. Ariel, my wife commented and said, they look still drunk from homecoming. I don't know if I'd go that far. But she rewatched it with me because she wanted to see NDSU lose, because who doesn't?
love that. But,
we got like 5 minutes into the game, and she's like, they just aren't playing with the oomph they normally play with. And part of it's, yeah, they're not playing us. Like, that matters. Like, they really do play with a little bit with extra juice when they play us. It's a rivalry. It is what it is. But I do think, like, I put USD high in my poll because they deserve to be for beating NDSU and all that stuff. However, and this isn't to take anything away from USD. I'd much rather take things away from NDSU. I'm going to hold off on declaring that NDSU is a joke and they're dead and everything, or they're bad, or they're going to get four MVFC losses. Like, if you watch that game, I don't think they were ready they weren't ready in the whole first half. When you're making mistakes like catching a kick and forgetting that to give a fair catch signal, like, you're not there. Like, the whole team's not there if that stupid stuff happened.
That,
like,
was the best thing.
I was like, that was almost what worse. Is he doing? And that he argues almost, with the official about it.
Right. That was almost as bad as the time they did that on at you and I. Remember that? And they dropped the ball, yes, and you and I just scooped and scored it in the end zone. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I don't know what that guy's name is, but he had that, and then he had two returns that he took out that he should not have. Right. And I don't even think he got to the 15-yard line.
No, it's like around the 10, 11. Yeah.
Right. And so, like, he was putting him in awful positions, which NDSU just isn't necessarily built to move the ball that quickly when they're down like that. And that's the key against NDSU is getting up on them. I mean, we won a different way last year, but not every team can do that. But USD got up on them, and then NDSU had to start running an up-tempo offense, which I don't know that they know how to do, because they got into that second half, they're down by 3 scores, and they were still doing the thing where they get up to the line and they look to the sideline.
Oh yeah.
And then the clock's down to like 2-3 seconds by the time they're hiking the ball. And it's like, dude, what are you guys doing? Like, they just ran out of possessions.
Yeah. I don't think they know how to play from behind. And I don't think they realized how much of an effect the running clock had on them. I don't think they understood that about themselves, because, like you said, they ran out of time. Like, the number of possessions in this game is ludicrous. Like, every possession in that game was worth 4 in a regular game.
Yeah.
Just score, being down by 3 scores in that game was like being down by 40.
Yeah.
Just the way they tried to play the game. Like,
it was easy to rewatch because the whole thing took like 2 hours and 20 minutes. Like, it's right. Just like it was went right through. But the other thing that, well, Alex mentions here that if they can't finish long drives with touchdowns, especially when you're down, you got issues for sure. And part of the reason why they didn't finish those long drives for touchdowns was stupid penalties. They had at least 3 boneheaded penalties that were just
very bad
game changers.
Yeah.
They came at terrible times for them. One of them got a touchdown callback, turned into a field goal. Another one, I think I saw he like ripped a guy's helmet off.
He did, yeah.
It, like he claimed he was ripping for the ball. It's like, well, what are you doing? Like,
doesn't matter if you were or not, you still ripped the guy's helmet off, bud.
Whoops, all face mask.
All face mask. Right. I didn't mean to, I promise,
dude.
I forget what the other the other one was, a roughing the passer, and it was pretty late, and it was a sort of weak one, but it was huge. It gave USD a first down, I think, when they probably would have had a kick field goal. So
it was still dumb. He took like three steps after the ball was gone and knocked him down. Like, oh, it wasn't vicious, but it was stupid.
Right. But overall, just clearly a team that's got some, I don't know if you call it discipline issues, but issues in terms of making stupid plays. When you combine the special teams blunders with the penalties they had, they have some stuff going on there that they need to figure out. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, NDSU, outside of, you know, the penalties and stuff that are easy to clean up, there are real issues that have carried over from last year and were buried beyond the urgency, beyond all that. You can run on them. I mean, Arkansas ran for 200 plus yards on them. Yes, their running back is a stud. Central Arkansas reminds me of the Jacks teams when we had Zach Zenner right now. That's neither here nor there, though, because NDSU would have never gave up 200 yards because they'd have just shut it down. And they can't. They can't do that. They don't have the size there. And missing Kubitz in the middle, they are struggling to stop the run game.
Mm-hmm.
And man, if you can slow their run game down and get them off the field, they're in trouble, like really big trouble.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if their offensive line just isn't moving guys like they used to, but it just seems like their runs aren't as effective anymore.
They ran their quarterbacks more often than they ran their running backs.
That's true.
Like they ran the quarterback, from what I saw, somebody said 20 times compared to 17 rushes with the running back. That's insane.
Right.
I'm not arguing with Rev about my freaking poll right now. I swear to God.
No, not right now. We don't have time. So we've been talking about what's wrong with NDSU. I think we do have to say that USD did look good. They made some plays. Bauman can be good. He's got a cannon of an arm. If you give him enough time to throw, he will find a guy and he will rifle it to him. And also, they look fast. They have some weapons and Tice and Thomas at running back, Bell at wide receiver. They are quick. You know, I think one of the comments was NDSU looks slow. I think it's a combination of USD having some quick guys and NDSU being a little slower on defense than they are used to. Got to give credit to USD. And Tony says here that, with after USD winning that game with the rest of their schedule, they'll hit 7 wins for the playoffs. Or will they hit? Who's he asking with? I don't know. Anyway,
I think he's saying they will hit seven.
Because they have a pretty favorable schedule here on out. That was a huge win for them.
Speaking of patting somebody patting themselves on the back, who said that USD had a really good chance to make the playoffs this year? I remember a guy who said that, and then somebody poo-pooed him going, where are you finding that win? Where are you finding the seventh win? Found it. Suck it.
I forgot about that.
I didn't.
Good call.
What's up, Rev? Welcome to the club.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Are you here to yell at me about where I have USD? Is that what you're here for?
No, I just wanted a front row seat to the pod. That's it.
Oh,
nice.
Fair enough.
Well, we're going to talk about the top 25 ranking shortly. We'll bring Rev on in a second. Before we do that, let's finish out these games here because we're only two in. Southern Illinois took care of Missouri State 33-20 and covered. Murray State barely beat Indiana State 30-28. They did not cover that one again. Indiana State scored a touchdown with 3 minutes left to help you, Brendan. Otherwise, I could have gone 6-0. You could have gone 1-5 pretty easily.
Would and should have.
We were both watching that and like, oh man, Ben's gonna. Oh, he's gonna get us. Nope, he's got it. We got him. Yeah, it was pretty interesting because that's who I wanted to win too, and I took the same as Brendan on that one. So
yeah,
for the record, Murray State does have a horse. that's dressed up like a derby racer, and it actually runs around the track. It's right. not just there. It it's not runs just there. Around. How does the track team be like, nah, that's
track. Fine. Track is for running, Brendan.
Yeah, tracks aren't meant around football fields in the first place. That that's abomination true. Wouldn't take place. Like, I get you're from Kentucky, but you're being ridiculous.
We actually had a response from a Fans Nation Network fan on that. And
was it a Murray State fan?
He was a Murray State fan. That's what I
said. Your horse is stupid. The only way I will give that any credence of being cool is if you have two of them race around the track.
That would be fun.
It's your that is not a racer. Right now, what your mascot is a trotter in fancy garb.
And it's not racing the clock.
No, it's not.
No,
they don't time it neither.
They should have it.
I want a gun. I want a gate dropping. I want people with ridiculously big hats.
So it's KFC.
Yes, bats. Betting. You should be able to bet.
That's what I'm saying. Place bets on horse next touchdown horse race.
Get your shit together, Murray State.
Yeah,
the gentleman's name was stadium without a track. If you let us bet on your horse racing around your track.
KFC what? Barstool?
KFC's Bats was his name. And he said, Murray State fan here. And yes, Racer 1, that's apparently the horse's name.
It is the
race. Runs on the same track as the track team and does lead the team out of a horse starting gate before the game. So they apparently have, you know, a Kentucky Derby-style starting gate that he breaks out of to start the game. So
we're halfway to the race that we want.
Right. Well,
Yeah, but is it a race with just two horse? That's not you've yes. heard of a two horse race. That's
literally
not
that called a two horse race.
I know you need three horses to make it a
well, good race. Here's my thing. They have Racer One. That infers that there is more than one racer. Why are we not getting to see it go against racers possibly 1 through 10? We don't know where the number ends. We only know Racer One. Maybe there's 17 of them that they have in hiding. Let's see the real thing. And then they can joust each other later.
These are all good ideas. Hopefully Murray State's taking notes. Idaho beat Eastern Washington 44-36 and covered. And then obviously SDSU covered 42-21. UND got the, did I say USD? They beat UND 42-21 and covered.
You managed to say two. Wrong what did I say? Teams.
Two wrong
you said, teams. UND you is said UND place. Beat USD. Wait, did I say USD?
I said that. I
meant UND, and you never mentioned us once.
Drink for being stupid, Ben.
All right.
We were running here.
SDSU beat UND 42-21. Yay! UND got the garage time touchdown, but still didn't cover.
Whew. I mean, they sort of had two garage time. That's, you know, Jesse says there's only 8 lanes on the track, and I'm not here for that sort of shitty negative thinking. You can do heats. I've been to places, you know, you race them in heats.
If you score enough touchdowns, you can do
it. I'm bold of me to assume that Murray State will have 3 touchdowns. Right. I know, but we could do a heat per point score.
Mm-hmm.
See?
That would be a lot of heats at this, you know, if you get a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, 14 heats. I'm here for it.
Right. So I went 4-2. Brendan went 3-3. I'm 19-23-1. Brendan's 21-21-1. That is the pick summary that took far too long.
It took exactly as long as God intended it to.
Let's talk about the top 25 quick. We don't have the graphic yet.
Oh yeah, we don't have the graphique. But we got sent the thing in the chat, so we can. Is this an early reveal? Will we get in trouble for this?
I don't know.
No, it's on the FFN YouTube anyways, and Rev's here. It's basically
so
like having Frazee and them release.
We've got SDSU at 1, followed by Montana State, Idaho, Southern Illinois up to 4. That's a big jump for them.
The Sock Lukey fears no man.
Previously like 9, maybe. I don't remember. And then Sacramento State to round out the top 5. NDSU falls to 7 on this poll, which is good. Some polls were stupid and still had them at like 3 and 4. And then it's unreal. USD jumps all the way from unranked up to number 11 after their big win. UND drops down to 14. Some people
saw the Rev eye roll there. Did anybody else see that?
Where do you think they should have gone, Rev? Further?
I have them at 16. No, I have them at 16 in my poll.
16. Well, Zach from Blue Bloods dropped him all the way out of his poll. He just said, screw you guys.
No, we were talking about USD. USD.
Oh, okay. I got you. But Zach dropped UND all the way out, which I thought was harsh after a loss to number one, dropping from 12 all the way out of the poll. But I digress. That is it for the Missouri Valley for the top 25. So we have now five teams in the top 14. For the Missouri Valley at this point.
The FFN poll presented by Culver's of Brookings and Watertown. The Curdburger's Burger's back.
The Curder Burger.
The Curder Burger. The Curd Burglar. This is bad.
But yes, super excited about that. I haven't heard, is it in Brookings yet?
You should find out when you get my
Scooby. We should check. Chad, you want to meet for lunch at Culver's tomorrow? Or, oh, no, sure. What time are you going through Brookings?
I'm pretty early, and I'll be back on my fast, so sorry.
Well, that's not going to work out. I guess I'll do it by myself. But
you can give me my Scoopy tokens.
Right. You can buy Scoopy tokens because you only want three.
Do that. I'm going to buy your burger, too, and you can eat it.
Give me a cold burger.
Whenever you get it.
And I want the Curd Burglar.
The curd burglar is a totally different thing.
The curd burglar?
Yes.
I love it.
No one's ever going to
be able to say the name properly again.
They'll never find it. Except for his, make him look like someone else's mascot-ish.
Greasy fingers all over everything. He's leaving a trail probably.
I can't wait to make a burger costume.
Alex, they should have he'll meet up with you, Ben.
Nice. That would be fun. I'll text you, Alex. They should. So the McDonald's used to have, the Hamburglar.
Yes.
Culver's should definitely have the Curd Burglar.
Yes.
As a mascot.
I want a video of just the Curd Burglar sneaking up behind the Hamburglar and just
make sure it's a C at the start and not a T, because that's totally different.
I think it didn't need to be said, Ben. I think we all
could have left that unsaid. We never say what we mean by BBC, which is obviously
we just Ben
can be nothing else, but we don't say the rest.
We need to enunciate when we say Curd Burglar.
It sounds like curd to me, like, you know, curds of milk.
Curd Ferguson. You know,
I think Brendan should be the Curd Burglar because really he's always got that pocket cheese.
Yeah, I'll be the Curd Burglar. Your curds.
All right. That's right. We're in garage time.
There's nothing that I'm going to enjoy saying more than burgle your curds for the rest of my life.
I think this show is jump the shark here.
No one knows what it means.
I mean,
you're going to do what?
How is it?
Just look someone in the eye. I dare everyone watching this show to walk up to someone in the grocery store, grab them by the arm, look them in the eye, and tell them you're going to burgle their curds and walk away. It just caused chaos. I want mass hysteria throughout the state of South Dakota.
Who hasn't gone to Culver's with a set of four dudes and just burgled each other's curds while they weren't looking?
I think most wives are curd burglars, if we're being honest.
Oh no!
Now you've gone too far.
They're always stealing your curds off your plate, you know?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Why you gotta be nasty?
Yeah.
All right.
Rev, you want off or what? You can remove it yourself.
No, no, no. You took it too far. It was at a great place. It was at a great place, and you had to go too far.
No, I'm just saying.
Nasty ass cardboard in your hat.
They're fry burglars. They're ring burglars and they're curd burglars. You know, they're stealing all that. That's what my wife does. She don't order it. She just takes mine.
Anyway, thank you, Culver's, for that that segment.
We hope you're getting your value in our advertising dollars.
Let's go to the – do you have the Missouri Valley standings pulled up by chance, Chad?
No, yeah, I got it pulled up. Let me
we just wanted to see – so, like, you've got some teams at the top, and then you have your trash teams at the bottom. Let's see. Who's that? Like, Murray State up top. And then, teams like NDSU towards at the bottom there. No, we have to show that while we can. But obviously, the standings are only one game in at this point in the conference. So whoever won a conference game is at the top. Whoever lost, like NDSU, is at the bottom. Not much more to say about the Missouri Valley standings there. Hey, Jim, what you doing in Memphis?
Hey, Jim.
He's walking in Memphis.
Probably.
He's probably hitting 10 feet Monell's.
With that, I don't think we don't have time. Tune in on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. to hear us preview the upcoming Missouri Valley games and talk and pick them against the spread against Alex's model. With that, let's talk about who we're playing this week in Illinois State. Well, first of all, one game that we are going to pick is, while Rev is here, we are going to pick the two non-Missouri Valley games, Western Carolina, Chattanooga, and the other huge matchup between two ranked teams, Montana and UC Davis.
We definitely didn't pick Montana UC Davis to shit on Montana. We would never do that.
Oh, never.
It's insane. Like the coaches
moved them up
13
to 13 now. They're at 13 for their huge win against Idaho State
that they pulled out in the last with authority in Wagra's Stadium against the defeated Bengals, who rushed the field because they won a game last week.
Just ask the Montana fan that's arguing with me on Twitter how good Idaho State is. tell you.
I just was out of curiosity, read some Montana fan stuff, and there is one who swears to you that Division II games count towards your playoff.
Total. He's in for a surprise, they don't, isn't he?
And then he had the audacity to go, it says in the rule book your overall Division I record, show me where it says not Division II. Well, you know what, when it says don't piss on the electric fence, it doesn't, I shouldn't have to tell you don't spit on it as well. Like, that shouldn't have to be put, that person's the reason for labels on hot coffee,
right? So, like I said, tune in Wednesday night, 8 p.m. If you can't make it, check it out on YouTube or wherever you catch your podcast. After the fact, we'll post those too. Let's talk about Illinois State.
Let's talk about them.
So, they look like a good team.
Pretty normal.
It's hard to tell who they are at this point. That's funny with the normal comment. For those that don't know, they play in Normal, Illinois. But just wanted to walk people through that one. Okay. Not everybody knows where they play.
I have to make that joke every
Not
other
everybody
year
knows.
Now.
Anyway, we don't really know how good they are at this point because they have a clunker of a game against Eastern Illinois that they barely pulled out. They barely lost. Sorry. And then they have other games against bad teams. And so it's kind of hard to tell who they are at this point, honestly.
Right. Yes and no. Like, I mean, you can still see some things about them. The fact that they give up 200 passing yards a game and 50 rushing yards a game against that schedule, it might be hard to read exactly how good they are at run defense, but it is easier to read how they are at pass defense. That seems to not be their strength, but overall, it looks like defense is their strength. Not saying Anixtead and their offense is bad, but it does feel a little similar to last year's team that was a lot better at defense, and they had a decent offense until Anixtead went down.
Right. Well, and, you know, this is the old argument. Well, you can only play who you played so far, but, I mean, it's pretty easy to have a good run defense against bad teams.
Yes.
So, again, my point was it's kind of hard to tell. Like, it says they have a good run defense, but how good is it? I will say that it does look like they have some dudes on the D-line. They definitely have dudes on the O-line. Their O-line looks really big. But we've seen big O-lines before that just can't move very well. Randy makes a good point. Mike Banks was hired by SDSU as the D-backs coach, is from Illinois State. I'm sure he's given us a ton of insight into what they do and how they do it, because SPAC's been there forever, and I doubt they're going to change out their defense overnight just because Mike's on our coaching staff. And so that's that's a huge asset, honestly, to have going into a matchup like this.
They do run the ball pretty well. They have four guys that are over 100 yards, you know, so that's not terrible. Blake Moore's their horse.
Yeah,
for the most part, it seems. But
And we just got to be ready for the effort and emotion they're going to come out with.
Oh yeah,
because they are going to be hyped up. I heard they're doing a blackout for this game. Yep. They have the capability of drawing good to solid crowds. I mean, they drew 13,000 already at one point this year, so it could be a little bit of a tough environment. We got to be ready for it.
Do they have all black unis?
Yeah, they haven't had them in the past.
With all, like, a black helmet and everything?
No, they had a white helmet every time I've seen them wear all blacks, I believe.
And maybe, if they had an all black uni with, like, a red, like a chrome red bird on their helmet?
They've got them with, according to
the
Google machine, they've got, one they used with a matte red helmet with a grayed out bird, which looks pretty cool. And then they have a black helmet as well. Oh, no, that's SEMO. So Illinois State has the matte red helmet with a grayed out bird.
Yep. Alex says it's pretty neat. Blackout. It's their only night game, and it's against the number one team. Going to be a good atmosphere. Yep. 100%. Yes.
We cannot overlook them. They are.
Oh, God, no.
Too good to just look by. And there's a little bit of concern with Hobod week next week and you and I coming after we just walloped a ranked UND like this to play a not ranked team. Well, maybe they're ranked in the stats poll, but stats voters outside of Jamie, Sam, and Blue Blood don't count as people. So,
right.
I think
that includes Joe.
I'll tell him to his face some of the dumb shit he's done. Get
your chance. He'll be on the show.
I was tempted to invite Ryan Roberts on here and just shit on him to his face.
What
just go one vote by one. And what was your thought process here? Oh, so it's not a poll of what happened, it's a poll of your feelings. Is that what we're voting on? Your feelings?
Oh, so a power ranking, not a
power ranking.
I thought that was pretty interesting, the back and forth that Craig had on that. And it's obvious that he really doesn't want to justify his voting. With his responses, Craig Haley. I don't know if you
read us. I
he had a back.
There was someone about, giving him hell about where he had NDSU
about where Craig had NDSU.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh yeah, because he even had him. What do you have, number four or something like that?
Yeah, it was
four or five, maybe. I think. Yeah, and then I don't even know. I think he had USD maybe barely in his poll or something like that. But
yeah.
Anyway, the other thing with Mike Banks, I was going to mention that he was actually, they had him on the coach's show tonight, and he mentioned when he was considering coming to Brookings that it was the community and how bought into it is and how like rabid of a fan base that we have, like how much of a difference that made for him and how he wanted to come here because of that. Because if you can imagine being in Illinois, like there's a lot of other teams to watch in that area. And so you've only got such a, you know, so big of a fan base. And
Illinois doesn't have a rabid fan base for their Big Ten schools, let alone the FCS schools. Honestly, I would say Illinois State might have a better fan base than Northwestern.
I mean, they have to have great fans because they still have people showing up for Bears games.
It's true.
Does that make you a good fan, or is that just
a glutton for punishment?
What's the complex when you get kidnapped?
I can't.
Stockholm syndrome. Yeah. I think it's Stockholm syndrome that makes you a Bears fan.
Yeah, could be. But anyway, back to the point of how the crowd makes a difference and your buy-in makes a difference because we get good guys stealing good guys from other Valley teams to come be our coach. It's pretty cool. But yeah, like you said, they're going to come out ready to beat a number one team at home. Big game for them. I mean, it'll be their biggest home game of the year. And so, yeah, we got to be ready for them and we got to come out firing right out the gates. Red, any thoughts on the Illinois State matchup for us?
Yeah, you guys are winning by 28.
Wow.
Oof. Okay.
Wow.
That's a sharp hoodie, by the way.
It got below 90 degrees, so it's hoodie weather now.
Oh, for shits.
Mm-hmm. It'd be even better if it was blue.
You know what's crazy, Rev? It was October 1st yesterday, and it was 90 degrees here.
So that's crazy.
I hate every part of that statement.
I didn't realize I brought our weather up with me.
You did. So you left it.
You could have brought it back home. Your weather's drunk. Take it home.
Hey, the moment you send my shorts back, it'll come back as well.
Fair enough.
I don't want to know what you're doing with red shorts, Brendan.
Oh, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's burgling my curds with those.
I'm just saying I found cardboard Rev with those shorts in questionable positions. So. Nice. I don't know what you did in the middle of the night. Thank God I sleep deeply.
OnlyFans/RevSFA. We'll find out.
Jesus. Are you going to have any guest appearances by any family members? Never mind.
Cardboardtoothpicks.com. Wow. You know, that sounds... We get the background. Nobody listening knows.
That's fine. It's better that way. I
probably you can DM me on Twitter and I'll give you the background to that story. I found out my cousin's a very famous person. That's just the background you
need. There we go. That makes it better.
It clears it
a lot better because it made it be like, what's your wife or daughter doing?
We're not from Arkansas. We don't do that.
Right. Put a Dallas comment.
Dallas is going to tattle on us.
How about shop time? No snitching, Dallas. No
snitching. My shop is right beyond my garage, so we can have shop time.
There we go. Shop time.
Have some shop beers.
Past garage time is when you start curb burgling.
Although,
that's going to be funny all year now.
Chad, if it's something you said, it'd be... It'd be like sop time. You'd probably miss the H or something.
The standard operating procedure. Sure, it fits this podcast.
There you go.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. We have no SOP. We have all over like shit on a wheel. Wow. Yeah. Furman has a paladin on a horse in a suit of armor. Well, if they don't joust, then they're bad people. If I don't get to see jousting before the football game, Furman shouldn't be able to have a football team.
Yeah. What does Brendan, do you guys have any cool mascot stuff? Or not Brendan, Rev. Do you guys have any cool mascot stuff?
Sure.
No. I mean, we just used to have a giant tree stump for a guy would drop an axe in. But other than that, no, not really.
Why?
Just
how do you not still have that? What happened?
It's still there. Our football players just go out and do it before the game.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Gotcha.
I thought you were talking about like when I was in high school, like if we had any cool mascot
stuff. We should do – no. We should almost like let a jackrabbit loose and have the team like race it onto the field.
That is an awful, awful idea.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
You know who's catching the jackrabbit? Nobody. Literally nobody. Right. And now we have basically like the MLB games where the squirrel gets loose on the field. Except we did it on purpose.
I mean, we let elks out there. We can just let a jackrabbit out there, too.
Elk?
It was a moose.
Well, whatever. Moose, elk.
And they're not elks. Elk, plural, is elk.
Fine. Yes.
The moosin' in the woods and in the boxing, Ben. You put moosin. An S on the end.
Moosin.
Why do they call it the Elk's Lodge, then?
No, because they own it. Because that's possessive. They own the lodge. It's possessive.
Possessive.
There's no apostrophe there.
It's not a plural thing.
I'm just kidding. I don't. That was,
he's an
that
engineer, was ladies and gentlemen, not an English
I wasn't
major.
Serious. All right.
This pod has been a total whirling shit show.
And a lot of fun.
And a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite ones this year.
Agreed.
It's the king of all right. Ideas.
Oh, I forgot about Austin's comment about Whiplash, the cowboy monkey. Wasn't that
goodness. Taco John's. We
Taco
had
John's.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the dog.
We should bring Whiplash back.
There we go.
All right.
Oh, yes. And of course, all of this tomfoolery is also brought to you by Cubby Sports Bar and Grill in downtown Brookings. If you think we talk funny now, you should see us after a couple drinks down at Cubby's.
You're not wrong. They have plenty of options there to drink. They have one of the best tap menus in Brookings. They have an extensive tap menu. Their rooftop is awesome. If you haven't been up there yet, go check that out before it's freezing cold and you can't go up there anymore.
And they have Chislik and cheese curds there. So you can the curd burgle there awesome. As well.
Definitely. their food is really, really good. So go check out Cubby's. Thank you, Cubby's.
We need a curd burglar.
We're great fans, and it's great to have Cubby's on board.
100%. Yes. I don't know where Jim must have hopped off.
He already phoned that in, bud.
Did he? We're that far over.
He's in Memphis and he's given up on us as people.
Well, no, I know he's in Memphis.
He's an hour ahead of us, isn't he?
Same time.
But Jim did get Jim and his wife did get Ariel a really cool SDSU maternity shirt.
That was awesome.
Cool.
That was awesome.
Stephanie.
And yes, Stephanie. Yep, I know.
I was Twitter. Sorry.
But, yeah, Stephanie. Yeah, it was really cool because you can't get SDSU maternity stuff anywhere. Maybe Jackrabbit Central will hear this and hook that up because that'd be pretty sweet.
That's a great idea.
That's a neat
All tip. Right. With that, Rev can join us on this one because he's a Jack too. As we always say, as Jim says, go big, go blue.
Go Jacks.